This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
As we said going to break, the ACC has two of the four volleyball teams in the Final Four in Columbus this weekend. Both Pittsburgh and, of course, the top seed Louisville are there. Wisconsin and Nebraska are the other two teams at Nationwide Arena, I guess it is, in Columbus for the event this weekend. Now, that brings to mind some ACC clashes of the past that were built up. Now, if you go all the way back to, like, 1983, when NC State, ultimately in the Cinderella run. Remember, they had beaten North Carolina in the semis at the Omni, Virginia in the finals? Of course you do. We saw Packer one day in a picture with Terry Holland in the tunnel. It might have been 89. I can't remember.
I think that, I'm not sure. That was like 84. I was in college.
Yeah. So that was at the Omni like 83.
Something like that. Yeah. 83, 84.
So the idea of these anticipatory matchups. Remember, NC State won their regional against Virginia. Had North Carolina beaten Syracuse, you would have had ACC-ACC in one side of the Final Four that year in Albuquerque. It would have been State Carolina in the Final Four, and then you would have had Louisville-Houston on the other side. 1991, national championship in Indianapolis. Had North Carolina beaten Kansas, you would have had Duke Carolina for the national championship. Remember that?
That has never happened, that right. matchup in March Madness, which is hard to believe.
It is. So when you start thinking about this collision course with Louisville and Pittsburgh in volleyball, well, you start thinking about, well, wait a second. What are we headed for potentially? Well, you got to go back just last year. I mean, you had Clemson-Notre Dame one time. You had Clemson-Notre Dame again in the championship game. There was a possibility that you could have had Clemson and Notre Dame again a third time, right?
In the college football playoff.
Right. 2016, you could have been close to Clemson-Louisville again. You've had these kind of matchups kind of stare themselves in the face. Sometimes they've taken place. Sometimes they haven't, Pack.
Well, I'd rather talk about the ones that have, okay, as opposed to the woulda, coulda, shoulda, what sure. if crowd. And you know how I always tell you, I hear what if, and I just kind of disappear for about 10 seconds because whatever comes after that's fantasy.
Sure.
Let's talk about the real world. You mentioned last year Clemson-Notre Dame football. And when the Irish were in the conference for one go-around, we know what happened in South Bend in November. No Trevor Lawrence, mm-hmm. overtime game, thriller, all that great stuff, and it was some kind of deal. Then you had the ultimate rematch, everybody's healthy, let's go play, and a championship was at stake, and it was right here in our backyard of Charlotte, of course, for the ACC title game, and Clemson took Notre Dame to the woodshed. That was one of those top five anticipations, and I'm not sure, maybe will we ever see another ACC championship game with a pair of top four teams in the country. I'd love to see it.
Yeah.
But that one was the real deal last year. And, of course, obviously Clemson wins. They both went on to the college football playoff. You mentioned Clemson-Louisville with Deshaun Watson and right. Lamar Jackson. I still think it was one of the best college football games I've ever seen. Given the hype, given the crowd, the experience, and mm-hmm. those two quarterbacks, and they both just put on a ridiculous display. I mean, yep. They were both fantastic, running, throwing. There were comebacks. There was crazy ebbs and flows, momentum changes in the game. Looked like Clemson was going to blow them out in the first half, and then Lamar says, watch this. And he was just magical. Louisville took a nice lead. You thought they were going to close this thing out, and here comes Deshaun Watson. And again, Death Valley at night, place was on its ear. That is one I think automatically you think of a top five matchup within the league. And it doesn't have to necessarily be a championship like we're going to get, potentially, with Louisville and Pitt in the Volleyball National Championship. But just the anticipation, that's cool. But looking back at ACC history, Wes, there have been some great ones.
What about 5 Florida State, number 3 Clemson in 2013?
I was there. It was on my birthday. And I was with Gene Chizik because we were doing a SiriusXM show together. And I remember going down on the field before the game. Jameis Winston was the deal, and Clemson was – Dabo had this thing going on, man. This Clemson's getting back and being nationally elite, and Florida State was rolling, and the place was nuts. And then all of a sudden, Clemson turned it over, like first possession.
Taj Boyd, yeah.
Boing, boing, touchdown.
First play after the turnover.
It was like 7-0, and next thing you know, it was 54-2 or whatever it was. And I remember the reason I bring up Gene Chizik is because Coach and I were down on the field, and you know Gene's got a pretty good eye for talent, right? I'm just down here as a knucklehead. And Gene looked at Florida State and went, Pack, man, look at these guys. And if you go back and look at that 2013 Florida State team, right. which went on to win the national championship, and Jameis Winston was spectacular. That game got so out of control so quickly. Gene went to me and said, hey, what are we going to do? I said, what are you talking about? And he goes, well, Mike Brown, who's no longer with us, was Dabo's agent. Right. And Kareem is just a wonderful guy. Taps us on the shoulder about 5 minutes before halftime and says, hey, boys, you want to go in and watch the second half from Dabo's office? And so we did. We ended up walking off the field. We went up to Dabo's office, put our feet up, had a beverage, and ended up watching all other games. And because that thing was over.
Right.
That's how great Florida State was. And, of course, you watched them in person. You went, man, that's a special group. And they were.
Yeah.
And they win the national championship, the last of the BCS era, as they knocked off Auburn in the Rose Bowl. But
we,
it was a great matchup.
We had it a couple of years ago in basketball. In fact, Spectrum Center in Charlotte was the scene of it because Carolina and Duke had played twice during the regular season. The first game at Cameron was the Zion blew his shoe out in, what, the first 2.5 minutes of the game pack, right? We had done the show that day from Coach K's office on the old ACC Central radio
show. Folks blamed us for that. We had nothing to do with it. Just because we were in Coach K's office the day of the game and, you know, that happened.
Yeah.
Had nothing to do with us.
And then Carolina had won the regular season finale in Chapel Hill. So then they were on this collision course for the semifinals of the ACC at Spectrum Center in Charlotte. And the game delivered, by the way. I mean, it was the first time Williamson had been on the floor. He'd had a great night in the opener, his first ever ACC tournament game against Syracuse the night before. And then look at the talent on the floor for this game. Trey Jones, there's Javon DeLaurier, Cam Reddish, Zion Williamson. I mean, Carolina had Kobe White on there. I mean, it was a star of stars, and Duke won the game 74-73, but that was an anticipated kind of game, right?
Yeah, well, especially with what happened with Zion earlier. You were just like, okay, it was kind of like the Notre Dame-Clemson football game part two. It's like, all right, Clemson's got their weapons. Now let's go play and see how this thing turns out.
Right.
But anytime, we could just do North Carolina and Duke forever. Seems like decade upon decade, but that in terms of recent memory, that one certainly falls under the category.
How about, and then this was a galvanizing game 39 years ago, actually 40 years ago this March, the 82 ACC Tournament Championship game between Virginia and Carolina was a galvanizing game. Why? Because Carolina had lost at Virginia and won the game in Chapel Hill. And the third meeting of what was an anticipated potential three meetings that year was the ACC championship game, which ended up being the shot clock game and all the other things that happened around it because Dean Smith went four corners. He went four corners with like 11 minutes to go and tried to get Virginia out of the zone. And Terry Holland was going to stand in that zone and Coach Smith was going to stand there and hold the ball. And that's the game ended, what, 47-42?
Yeah, it was in the 40s. And when we did our COVID shows, our Q-series shows, we did one with Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
Who, to this day, was still like, man, Dean Smith didn't want to play us. I mean, he just played keep away. He didn't want to come play us. And, you know, even to this day, that one runs deep in Virginia.
I mean, you could go through and pick out a myriad of these games. I mean – there are Duke, Carroll, and the ACC basketball tournament, there are a myriad of top 10, even top 5 games. I mean, the greatest game, we glossed over this the night we opened the network, the greatest game in ACC basketball history is still the 74 championship game.
Yep, agreed.
I mean, Maryland. It's not even close in some respect. There have been some unbelievable games, but the 74 title game is great. Now, you look in the last decade, we mentioned Duke, Carolina from 3 years ago at Spectrum Center. 2014, you know, you had Duke and Syracuse in Syracuse's first year in the ACC.
And
right?
Ranked number one.
Right. Duke won in Cameron. The Boeheim Jacket game, as it's, I guess, known. That game came after Syracuse had beaten Duke 91-89 in overtime a month earlier. Oh, look at here now. We get a little CJ Fair.
This was such a great game. Look at Boeheim just losing it.
Why are we? What's the cloud over the mouth for on Tony Green?
I don't think he can say that even on Sirius XM. This was such a fun game to watch.
Wow.
I could even think, too, of when Maryland was in the league and Gary Williams would come in. There was those games and the crowd would start chanting,
Sweat, Gary, sweat.
And I mean, good grief. There has been so many. So we're just kind of putting some chum in the water here with this topic, and we want you folks at home to participate. Where maybe it's a memory of a top five, top ten matchup. Doesn't have to be a championship game. It could be a regular season showdown, and it doesn't have to be just football or basketball. It could be something that you just remember, whether growing up as a kid or getting game recently, or whatever the case may be. So 844 say ACCN is the number for the show. 844 say ACCN.
We did have Duke Maryland in a Final Four 2001.
Yep,
21 years ago, and Duke, of course, in 95-84, Maryland had that big lead in the first half.
Big rally for Duke, no question.
Shane Battier.
Now, there was a stretch, in my opinion, where Duke Maryland was a much more intense rivalry than Duke North Carolina. There was a stretch.
I will share this with you. The 2004 ACC tournament is a sneaky championship game. Sneaky. I mean, it gets lost in the pantheon of discussions because Duke and Maryland 04, John Gilchrist ends up being the MVP of the tournament. Duke blows a huge second half lead, and Gilchrist is like the man. I mean, this, 6'1", 6'2", guard, just tough. Dominated the game.
So tough.
And then he got that joker to overtime, and Maryland wore him out in overtime.
Yeah, you know, Duke and North Carolina, rightfully so, given its longevity, right, of just excellence and the standard and so forth. But like I said, there have been some spikes in the league from a basketball perspective where, you know, Bobby Kremins at Georgia Tech.
Wait. Hold on. I just got a text from Bobby Kremins.
Well, I must be reading my mind.
Said, Wes, don't forget 70-71 South Carolina, North Carolina.
That was a great one.
You're talking about the Georgia Tech games, right?
Yeah, I was talking when Bobby Kremins was at Georgia Tech. I mean, they had great runs, you know, and Terry Holland had great runs. Lefty had great runs. Gary Williams, great runs. Norm Sloan, Jim Valvano, great runs. You know, there's always been a kind of ebb and flow, but Duke Carolina basketball – it's always been kind of the one you measure it by.
That was John Roach, right? John.
Yeah, now, since Kremins is watching, I mean, I was going to bring my very first ACC tournament game that I ever went to was at the old Chrome Dome here in Charlotte, which is now the Bojangles Arena. And as a kid, my eyeballs popped up, and it was NC State, South Carolina.
No, don't do that. Yes, that's Kremins is watching. Don't do that.
I just said that. I said, if Bobby's watching, that's the first one I remember if he wants to bring South Carolina into the mix. And John Roach, and of course Bobby, was tied into that game, and NC State knocked off South Carolina in the championship.
Why do you do that to Bobby?
I'm not doing anything to Bobby.
They lost the game. Kremins is watching the show.
Kremins is a great guy. You know, and I just gave him props for his great teams at Georgia Tech. I'm just bringing in the real world, not the what-if world. My first game at the ACC tournament was watching Bobby Kremins' team lose to NC State. Sorry. The way it works.
No, I'm sorry to Bobby.
Roach had a bad ankle, and NC State took advantage of it. Being an NC State fan as a kid, I loved it.
Look, he just wrote back and sent you that. We can't show that on TV.
Come on, coach. We're friends.
Not anymore, you're not. all right, 844-SAY-ACCN. Bobby, you can call and chew out Packer
That's
if you need
if
to.
Come on,
yeah,
coach.
Come on, Bobby.
Bring the Christmas spirit.
There we go. All right, sit tight. We'll get your thoughts on the most anticipated matchups and what happened. What game was it? We got a chance at a anticipated matchup, Louisville-Pittsburgh in volleyball this weekend in Columbus, Ohio. More to come. Mike Noonan in this hour, the championship coach of Clemson soccer. Anna Stevenson from Louisville Volleyball, speaking of the title this weekend. And Mike Bray of Notre Dame, all to come before we're done at 10 on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
I tell you what.
What?
We're getting close to the holidays and the in-between commercial, we're really not trying to hide anything from the show, I promise. Mark Packer, Wes Durham, welcome back. We'll have to figure out a way to talk about that.
We can do that anytime you want.
We're not going to do it right now. We've got things to do.
Part of the holiday spirit around here.
It is part of the holiday spirit. We had Wilkerson Bakery this morning, Moravian Bakery from Winston-Salem. Feeling good about ourselves. Mike Noonan coming up at 8:45.
Yeah.
Big time sugar rush, which is good.
All right, 844-SAY-ACCN is the number for folks who want to jump on board with this topic today.
We can cover all sports, I guess, in this, right?
No question. It's not just a football basketball deal. Yeah. It's everything.
We've hit football and men's basketball. The last decade, really, it's about Louisville State and Notre Dame Louisville when it comes
women's
to these hoops. Women's basketball, yeah. When it becomes these anticipated matchups. Even a year ago, after beating Louisville 74-60 on the road in the regular season, NC State defeated them again in the ACC championship on the Reyna Perez shot to get the number one overall seed. This is a great game, by the way. I mean, I know it was played in the pandemic and all these other things. This turned out to be a super basketball
game. What was cool about this game is they both sensed that they were going to see each other, right? You just kind of had a feeling. In fact, it may happen again this year, yeah. For all we know, given where everybody's ranked. NC State's number two, Louisville number six in the latest AP rankings. But there was just the anticipation that these two were going to cross paths one more time. And they know each other so well. It was a fascinating game to watch. It really was.
Charlie Cream, by the way, I think told us there was a number one seed on the line. Mm-hmm. You know, all those things. So Louisville and NC State. How about 18? Number four Louisville defeated number five Notre Dame by 2 points again. It was Louisville's first tournament title for Jeff Walls, and they kind of had to exercise the demon of Notre Dame, right? Yep. I mean, this is again. Here we are with another anticipated matchup. Walls and Louisville are on the run. And they got it done.
Notice I didn't see the shoe blimp in the upper.
It was there earlier in the week. I only think it's a limited stay for you.
Huh.
Play our cards right, we'll miss it this year.
Oh, no. I want part two of that deal now. Come on. I know how to fly that sucker. Now I've been practicing with the drone.
No. 2019.
You are so unfun.
I'm not being unfun.
You're unfun.
I just remember that guy's look when you had the controls.
I don't care what that guy's look was. I had the controls. We were going places.
2019.
You were underneath the table going, I am not associated with this man.
I wasn't underneath the table.
I don't know that man with the remote over there.
Like many others, I was worried that the blimp was getting ready to crash.
Well, if it crashed, it crashed. But it didn't, did it? Did it crash?
No.
Were there any flammable problems inside the Greensboro Coliseum?
Fortunately not.
No. No, the answer is no. So I don't know why you keep over there sweating profusely because I'm messing around with something. You relax, man.
We do a show at the women's tournament in Greensboro. The first thing you'll be looking for when we walk in the door
is the blimp.
Is the blimp.
There's no question about it.
Bless John.
Just keep the doors
John
closed.
John Tarwater, if he's the blimp operator again.
I'll just tell you right now, that the drone is over there on my SiriusXM desk, all right? Captain Ron left it for me, so I've been practicing the drone.
Have you?
I have.
How's that been?
It's more difficult than I thought it was going to be.
Because you got to go left and right.
Well, you got to really play with it. I mean, so I'm trying to figure out the way to open up these French doors and have that sucker come flying in here. That's what I'm working on. So you just can't get in the Chariot of Champions up there in South Bend and drive that thing. You got to work it a little bit. This drone thing is a little more difficult than I thought.
Is that the one Captain Ron ordered online for you?
Yeah, you know, with the Chinese instructions? Yes.
Okay.
I'm figuring it out.
All right.
Slowly.
More women's basketball. Number one, Notre Dame. Number two, Louisville. 2019. Notre Dame won by 14 in just the third 1-versus-2 game in ACC history.
Yeah, we've had some good ones.
Mm-hmm.
We really have.
Duke Carolina was the first one.
We've had some good ones. Like I said, the latest AP poll that is out, the one that matters for women's basketball, NC State's 2, Louisville is 6. Just saying, that one's got a chance to kind of join this category later in the season. Has a chance.
We've had them in women's soccer, too.
Oh, yeah.
2018, Florida State beat North Carolina 1-0 in a national title match.
Well, those two have just been on a collision course. I mean, you talked about Anson Dorrance, what an incredible job he's done at North Carolina. And Coach Krikorian was on with us last week right after they won another national championship, third since 2014. Those two have absolutely been eyeball to eyeball coming down the stretch. Regular season, postseason, they've been great.
Happened in lacrosse.
Punch.
Yep. UNC and Carolina, Virginia played in the national semifinals. Virginia won 12-11. Teams split in the regular season. The road team won each game, and then here they go again.
But I'm not surprised with lacrosse, you know, or field hockey, because, you know, North Carolina and Louisville have been really, really good too lately.
Right.
Because when you have a limited number of teams nationally playing, and we've always told you how great this league is when it comes to lacrosse, field hockey, et cetera, that makes sense. Right. It makes sense that we would have a bunch of those that fall into that top five category. I mean, a lot of times we give you the top 10 in rankings, and you'll have four or five ACC teams in the top six or seven. I mean, it's that dominant. So that's not a surprise.
This will be interesting if we get Louisville and Pittsburgh, won't it?
In volleyball?
Yeah, yeah, I think the national title.
That's why I said to you last week, I was rooting for Georgia Tech as well to win out, because you got a sense that you could have an ACC flavor at the Final Four.
The highest, maybe the best ACC moment at the College World Series occurred in 13 with NC State and Carolina playing in Omaha, right?
Right.
That was awesome. They had played that unbelievable game in the baseball championship. And remember that in Durham? They went 18 innings that night.
Right.
And then they met again in Omaha. Mike Fox and Elliott Avent getting after it.
Well, I tell you what, every time I see Omaha, I think of NC State.
Man.
I do. And
doggone
it, man. What a coulda, shoulda for NC State this past year. But you know what? Elliott and the boys, they're going to be pretty good again this spring. I'm really looking forward to ACC baseball.
Yep. There are a couple reactions on social media. Let me give you one or two here, Pac. Valerie C. says, February of 21, Hokies wrestling beat NC State to win the ACC championship. Came down to the final match with Sam Latona.
Of course. We talked about it. And we talked about the Friday night duels, which have become kind of a staple, in my opinion, on ACC Network. And when we get in the season, I know the rankings are out. And again, four ACC teams, really solid top 20. That was such a great match. And I remember it because the next day, that Saturday, Amy and I went up to Virginia to go carpet shopping, if you remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
And the guy that loaded the carpet into the Ford F-150 was watching us on Packer and Durham and was just giddy about the Friday night duel the night before, about the showdown. And we talked about it. In fact, I could barely leave. The guy was so excited.
Yeah.
Man, you're that Mark Packer guy? Yeah. You're the guy on TV? Yeah. What are you doing here? I'm buying some stinking carpet. That's what I'm doing. But he was so fired up about the wrestling. So great. Friday night duels, man.
Tim Hogan says that the 74 ACC basketball championship final is his.
Hard to argue.
Yeah, Maryland State. Two top fives. Only one could go to the tournament.
With what was at stake made that one even. Not only was it an incredible game with unbelievable players, but what took it to the ultimate level was basically the fact that, hey, one goes and the other one goes to the couch. On your mark, get set, go.
In fact, Maryland refused the NIT.
Right, I don't blame them.
Yeah.
Who wants to play in that?
Darren Lucas talks about the Indianapolis situation where Duke and Carolina were both in the Final Four. Carolina lost to Kansas, who then lost to Duke on Monday night. Anticipated, but didn't happen. That is correct. That would have been, and as you said earlier, it is hard to believe.
It's unbelievable.
In the long history of Duke-Carolina, you've never had them meet in the NCAA tournament.
And that day, I've told this story on the air, that particular Final Four, where my seat was, I was right above the tunnel. It was really a terrible seat to watch the game because those domes are
awful,
unwatchable.
That one was especially.
Unwatchable. I mean, you feel like you're 100 miles away.
The old Hoosier Dome was not a good venue.
Well, here's the thing. You where we were sitting was right above the tunnel, and Dean Smith gets tossed.
Pete Pavia, yep.
One, two, you're gone.
Right.
And Dean couldn't believe it.
Right.
And nobody in the stands could believe it.
Right.
The Carolina folks were just beside themselves. The Duke fans were going bonkers, as you can only imagine. So Dean ends up walking across the length of the floor, shakes Roy's hand, ironically, the head coach at Kansas.
And everybody on the team.
He shook everybody's hand. And he's literally walking to my tunnel, if you will. All right. And he goes, he's out. They escort him out of the building late in the game. Kansas wins the game. And I'll never forget, Bill Guthridge runs off the floor like his hair was on fire.
Yep.
I mean, just
after Pete Pavia.
Oh, and the refs come walking right underneath. And here comes, you can see it. It's coming right at you. And here goes Bill Guthridge. And he is screaming, mild-mannered, low-key.
Yep.
And you're like, oh, my God, this guy Guthridge has lost his mind. And I will look down the tunnel, and the security people in the tunnel see this guy coming, screaming, and they pin him up on the wall. And I'm watching this going, oh, my God, Guthridge is pinned up against the wall. And now the players are coming in, and they see their assistant coach basically.
Right.
And they come after the cops. Like, hey, that's our coach. I mean, it was a wild scene.
Yeah.
And nobody could see it on television because it was literally 2 feet inside the tunnel. What a wild day that was.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Unbelievable, right?
Stories we could tell.
And sometimes do.
And that's what we're doing.
All right. On the other side. Josh Macri's here, folks. True or false?
Are we going to take calls on this or not? Because I do want folks to participate with
this
topic.
Sure, we'll do that.
All right?
Okay, yeah.
And we'll get to your calls. 844-SAY-ACCN. It's 844.
Maybe we take one or two during true or false.
Whatever you want to do. I just want folks, because everybody's got stories. Everybody's got stories.
Yeah. We'll do that and true or false with the venerable Josh Macri next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Hey, we got basketball for you tonight. Game two of our doubleheader is number two Duke back home in Cameron. Been about an 11-day break for the old Blue Devils, Mark. South Carolina State comes rolling in. Dave O'Brien, Corey Alexander will be there for you. It's available here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. Men's basketball presented by Geico. We welcome you back to the old Tuesday run. That would be the owner of the basement, lead singer and driver of the Winnebago, Mark Packer.
Co-owner.
Co-owner of the basement, Mrs. P.
Mrs. P is certainly co-owner. I told her today about the moon pod that's going to be delivered.
She didn't know what it was.
No.
No idea.
No.
She said something has to go, right?
She said, where do you plan on putting the moon pod?
Right over there, don't you?
No, I told her. I said, up in the den?
Pack. God, you didn't tell her that.
The expression was beautiful. She goes, no, I don't think that's going to happen.
Is that a complimentary for your endorsement on SiriusXM?
It is. I've forced the sales department to send me one since I keep reading them for free.
Okay, there we go. Good job.
So wait till it gets here, because I think you're going to like it. I think I'm going to like it. The moon pod.
I think we may end up doing shows from them.
It's going to be right
there. Well, for the time being, then we move it over here.
Well, no, we're going to put it. It's a radio gig.
Oh, it is a radio gig first.
Yeah, okay. It's not. I mean, until
it's sponsor of the radio show,
right? Until ESPN sales department goes, hey, that Packer guy was talking about the moon pod. Let's call those folks up and get them as a sponsor.
That's right. Okay, tell you what we'll do. Let's go to the Voice of Victory. It's been a while.
Well, it has. What, for a victory?
No, well, it's been a while since we've talked to Macri.
Yeah, maybe both.
Josh, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, it's been too long, especially when that loss came against Georgetown.
Yeah, that's old school.
A little flashback, wasn't it? A little flashback, huh? That's tough.
The old Big
Sorry
East.
About that.
That old Big East DNA coming out there.
Yeah, that's hard.
Yeah, not ideal, to say the least. But happy to be back, doing a little true and false with you guys.
True.
Yeah. As has been well publicized for a couple weeks here on Packer and Durham, there are four new head football coaches in the ACC Coastal. True or false, at least two of those new head coaches will lead their programs to a division title within the next 4 years.
Ooh.
Two of them.
Good question. You know what? I'm going to go with optimism and say true. I'm going to go true. Between Virginia Tech, Duke, and Miami, four newbies, one division, 4 years, given how crazy the Coastal is, I'm going to go true.
Two, huh?
One, two.
In the next four. I'll say true. What?
I just love watching you do like math.
The wheels turn.
Yeah, it's just like, okay, two.
It's
four.
Not that. It's actually not that.
What is it then?
It was. I honestly do believe Mario Cristobal will be a smashing success at Coral Gables.
I think you're right.
Okay. I was trying to figure out if they're okay. When you look at it,
that means you got three left to play.
I understand
with.
That, but I was also thinking about the other three schools in the league we're not talking about.
But it's only one division.
I understand that, But think about what that division's become.
That's my point.
It's 7 and 7 years, for heaven's sakes.
We hand them out for free. Everybody gets one. It's like juice boxes at the soccer game.
I mean, gets juice boxes. Narduzzi in Pittsburgh, they got some sustainability about themselves.
I get that. But you know what? You think Pitt's a favorite next year in 22 in the Coastal? I don't.
No. No, not yet. I mean, they could be. We don't know. I mean, again, we don't know who the cube is. With Davis Bevel and Nick Patty, they're both there.
I know who the dude is at Miami.
Oh, well, I understand that. And I like Miami, but here again, what have I told you every year in July? We fall in love with Miami. Everybody starts to fall in love with Miami. And about 2 years ago, I told you I had to see it to believe it.
This is not to win the national championship. This is not to be in the college football playoff. This is not to win the ACC title necessarily. The question is to win a division title. So your universe is seven teams.
But a universe that also had 7 in 7 years one time.
I get that. That's why it is true.
All right. I'll go true. Hey, Josh, I'm thinking these things through, you know?
Yeah, there's a lot of number crunching there, appreciate the effort.
I got smoked out on this a little bit in the past, so I'm trying to be more thoughtful and conscientious about my answers.
It doesn't matter if we're right or wrong. It doesn't.
You just wrote a thesis paper on potential future coastal chaos, and let me tell you, I'm a fan.
Go ahead.
Macri just wishes Syracuse was on that side of the division. Because he wants him in Charlotte in December.
True. All right, from football to hoops. We touched on this a little bit yesterday, but let's nail it down and mark the tape. True or false, four of the top five teams in the men's basketball standings at season's end will come from the state of North Carolina.
Four of the top five. Duke, yeah, Carolina, yeah, Wake
State. At the end?
I'm going to say false. I think if we had the tournament like next week, I'd say true.
I'm going to say false too, because I think it's going to get really thick after about three in the standings. I think your three are going to be, I don't want to say clear the field, but the three are going to be much more pronounced, and then the next six, seven could be everywhere.
I think two's a given. I think three's possible. Four, I think's a reach.
Hey, Josh.
Yes.
I've also been told that what we suspected during the break is actually who we think it is.
Oh.
Because I just received an outside text telling me that.
Wow. Outside sources, huh?
Yeah. Outside source. Correct. I would say false on this because, I think the three are going to be defined, and then we're going to have the new glob. The glob 2-0. How's that? Ooh,
glob could be thick.
The glob could be very thick. So nice. There you go. All right, next.
Nothing like a thick glob. Speaking of basketball teams from North Carolina.
Yes.
Alondis Williams got a triple-double. Second one this season in the ACC, 35th since Dirt. With that said, there will be two more players to record triple-doubles this season in the ACC.
Two more players other than Wendell Moore and Alondis Williams?
Two more players.
False.
Not true. True. Yeah, there are a couple guys who are candidates for sure.
Oh, we got candidates. Let's mark the tape on this one.
Okay.
I mean, we've only had 35 in the history of the league.
I understand. I know where you're going on this. I'm not necessarily disagreeing with you, but we have Darion Sebron is a candidate for a triple-double. I'm not arguing
with you regarding candidates. Mm-hmm. The question is, can they do it? I think we've got some dudes who can do it. But are we going to get two more? I mean, you're going to run out of South Carolina states on the schedule.
True. I think there's just a possibility.
Do you think one of these will happen during an ACC game?
Oh, that's possible too now.
Oh, so you think that's true?
That could happen, yeah.
I'm going to go false. Let's mark the tape on this one.
Okay. By the way, I think Reese Beekman's also a candidate, Virginia. Michael DeVoe could be. He has rebound-ish type nights.
Rebounding-ish
type nights where he'll go get five or six, seven.
You going to describe that on your next ACC Network broadcast? Rebound-ish?
Rebound-ish type nights, yeah, where he gets a lot of rebounds. When you start looking at triple-doubles,
yeah,
you have to think about that.
Well, there's been 35 in the history of the league.
Are we
we've been playing for a long time.
Do we want to take this call before we go to break, Josh? Okay. All right.
I didn't hear anything.
So there we go. We'll take a break. Come back. Mike Noonan will join us.
No more true-false?
That's it.
That's it?
That was the last one.
Huh.
Very limited engagement of true-false, didn't you think?
That was pretty quick.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
True.
Yeah. Pretty quick.
On the other side, national championship coach Mike Noonan is
here. How about that?
Yeah.
Rolls right off the tongue.
Thrill for him. Thrill for Clemson. Look forward to talking to Coach Noonan when we continue next. This is Packer and Durham on the Atlantic Coast Conference Television Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday morning, 844-SAY-ACCN. We will get to your phone calls, I promise. We have a busy power hour as well. But, Wes, it's time to bring on the recent recipient of the Phillips Factor. And that is winning national championships for the ACC. In this particular case, we go down to Clemson, South Carolina.
Oh, Mike.
Mike Noonan joins us, men's soccer coach. First of all, Coach, appreciate the time. And, man, congratulations. A truly spectacular effort by your team.
No, it was great. I was obviously we're thrilled, happy to represent Clemson the way that, and the ACC, the way that the guys did the other day. And, you know, just excited. Hasn't sunk in. We've been on the move pretty much since we got back, but it's a terrific, terrific feeling.
Mike, you know, when you get through the elation and the adrenaline, right, that pumps when something like this happens, you go back and watch the match at some point. Have you even done that yet?
Yeah, I was in the air yesterday for a while, so I was able to watch the game, watch both games, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I've told the guys throughout the run that as a coach, it's different because you look at the performance as well as advancing. As players, you just want to win the game, get on the next game. And, you know, I thought I kept on emphasizing to the guys that there's more in them. And they brought it on Sunday for sure.
Coach, I thought that your diagram for the first 30 seconds of the game to get Reed to score was really perfectly executed. I think you should do that more often, just to take a 1-0 lead 30 seconds into a game.
Boy, I tell you what, it takes some pressure off of the moment, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you play from the lead and you're in a final, it relaxes everybody. And everybody can focus on just doing their job because they have a lead. So sometimes in our game, you can score too early and relax. But again, with the you know, the momentous occasion, there was no relaxing. The guys, you know, just relaxed and played really, really well.
It seems like, you know, and everybody talks about here's this unforced error. All of a sudden you get a goal. But the mentality, every dynamic changes about the match when something like that happens. Do you worry about it happening too early, though, Mike?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that can definitely happen. And then, you know, carrying a 2-0 lead into halftime, when you're playing so well, you know, we always as a staff ask, you know, is halftime going to help us or hurt us? And there was no way it was going to help us because we were playing too well. So we had to come out and weather the first 10 minutes. But once we got through the first 10 minutes of the second half, you know, I felt pretty confident that we were going to take the game.
You know, it's never easy to win a national championship, whether it's your first one, your 50th one, or whatever the case may be. But, man, the path that this team went through to get to the championship and win it, you beat number one, you beat number two, you beat number four, it's hard to top that. I mean, this was really, like I said, a spectacular effort, not only on the championship day, but the entire tournament. You played so consistently well.
Yeah, you know, one of our core values as a program is not cut corners, and they certainly didn't cut corners getting to the title. And, you know, going out to Oregon State and beating the number one seed was, you know, a monumental task. Again, big compliments to our athletic administration who were able to get us out there and back in a way that we could, you know, play 5 days later and then 2 days later. So we're really, really proud and happy to win that game in penalties. Obviously, you know, just like defense wins championships, but character wins championships even more. And this team's got character, incredible amounts of character. And then, you ride a hot goaltender. And George, I've been telling people all year, he's, one of the best goalkeepers in the country. And over the course of those five games, I think he proved it.
Coach, when you look at the kind of program history you've got, and in particular your administration with it, where was a turning point with this team? Where, I mean, Oregon State, penalty kick, sure, but that's the tournament. And the tournament is kind of an entity unto itself at times. Where was the particular turning point with this team, though, that you felt like, okay, we get in this, we got a chance?
Well, again, it's cliche, Mark, but you take one game at a time. And throughout the course of the season, we did that. And the guys just bought into it. I mean, we had a rough patch in the middle of the season where we lost to Notre Dame and lost to Pittsburgh. And but it was unwavering, right? In those games, we focused on the performance. Our first half performance against Pittsburgh was excellent. Our first 60, 70 minutes against Notre Dame was excellent. But sometimes the ball doesn't go in the goal. And, we struggled because we lost James Brighton, which, hurt us, in depth up front. And then Mo went down. But no matter what happened, it was next man up. And we found a way. My staff did a fantastic job scouting opponents, getting us prepared, looking at, different ways that we could play with the players that were available. And there was never any doubt in the team that we were good enough. I mean, the belief in the team that we were good enough to win if Lady Luck was on our side and if we did the things that we needed to do and things that we could control and take care of.
Coach, isn't it funny how it works out sometimes? I mean, you've had teams that were higher seeds here just in recent memory that a lot of folks said, man, you know what? Clemson's the team to beat to win the national title. And you come up a little bit short. And now you get a team that's the 8th seed, not to downplay that, because that's an impressive feat in itself. But this is the one that closes the deal. It's kind of weird how it works out sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah, I have a mentor who helps me over in England, a guy named Bill Besick, who's a sports psychologist. And he just keeps telling me that, if you keep doing things the way that you're doing them, sooner or later, and your teams keep doing it, you're going to poke your head through. And you don't know when that's going to happen. And this was our time to poke our head through. And, we've had other teams that were really, really talented. We had other teams that were huge character teams. And for one reason or another, the ball hit the post. The ball just went wide, right? An own goal here, a penalty kick there. But this is the year that things came through, and obviously we're elated, and they're not going to take this one away from Clemson.
All right, so here's the bigger question. How long do you allow yourself to kind of revel in this before you start thinking about the next year?
On the bus on the way back, I asked our trainer when Moha was getting his surgery, so we were getting prepared for next year. If that answers your question, and that's what we do, as coaches, we're definitely going to enjoy this. Hopefully we're going to have a parade sometime in January down College Ave. And, Miss Ibrahim will be leading that one too, as she did the football one. And we're really excited for Clemson, the community.
Yeah.
But, as soon as Christmas, I mean, my recruiting coordinator's on the road recruiting on Wednesday. So, there's no rest if you want to be consistent.
Coach, my senior year at Clemson was the first year the Tigers won the national championship in soccer. And while it's always been a great football school, to see football get this kind of accolade is really cool. I remember being in college, and I'm sure it's going to be a party. And then when you guys have that celebration, bringing that third national championship home. But, Dan Radakovich, who has moved on to the University of Miami, you got Graham Neff now taking over as the interim. Who gets credit on the resume now? Is this a Graham Neff resume builder, or does this go to Radakovich as he takes that thing to Miami? I mean, it's going to be on yours forever. But from a boss's standpoint, who gets the credit here?
I think we're going to give it to President Clemens.
Nicely done. Great diplomacy, Mike. Points for you, huh?
The points, goal.
Points for you on that. Well, I tell you what, it was fun to watch. Fantastic drama. congratulations to you in particular, but also your team. And we always appreciate and very grateful for your time you spend with us.
Yeah, well, I appreciate you guys too. And I just had to catch up with my two Brown head coaches who won national championships in lacrosse, Lars Tiffany and Joe Brett. So, you know, we had to even things out on the soccer side.
You're exactly right. Be well. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Thanks, guys.
All right. You bet. Mike Noonan, head soccer coach at Clemson, national champion Clemson Tigers.
We didn't get a chance to ask the walk-up music song for the national champ.
I think he'll be back.
Can we get him back on?
Well, not now.
It's a Zoom call. is the technology that tough for us at ESPN that we can't get the guy back on for one last question? I know we're up against a break to really screw things up, but hey, what do we care? We're lucky to be employed. I got nabs.
I know, we're going to get him back down. Look at this. This is who you are.
I mean, when that's the question. Now, we got to get Coach back on here. It's our new traditional question.
Look at this. See, look, there he is.
Coach, before
look
we
look at
you go,
look at the power you possess.
That's exactly. So understand that. All right, so here's the deal. Coach, we've been asking this to every coach. What is the ultimate walk-up music for you?
Ooh, the ultimate walk-up music.
Yeah.
Jeez, the ultimate walk-up music. If I actually, that's tough.
What gets you fired up? What's the song that sticks in your head like I am ready to go to work?
What song do you sing in the car, Mike? That's the one I tell you.
I'm going to work.
What song do you sing in the car?
How about We Are the Champions? Right? Does that ring a bell?
That's been there for a long, long time. That's been there for a long, long time. I would have to say Born in the USA by Bruce.
Ooh. All right. Well, Springsteen. That's the first Springsteen reference by any coach yet so far.
There we go.
All right. Now we're done with you. Merry Christmas. Right. Happy holidays. All that good stuff. We promise not to call you anymore until 2022.
Thanks, guys.
See you soon. There we go.
See ya.
Springsteen.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. Yeah. That I'm telling you, we're going to put a cool montage together with these answers because we've been all over the board already with these answers. They're everywhere.
Yeah.
Like it.
Calls coming up 844-SAY-ACCN. The good and the bad as well from last night. We'll chronicle that as we move into the power hour. Anna Stevenson will join us from Louisville Volleyball at 9:15. Mike Bray Chevrolet at 9:30. Or Buick or whatever he's driving. Because I'm sure it's coming from the car. Next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.